Blog Talk Radio.
So we're back, everybody. That was the longest commercial break ever. I so apologize for the technical difficulties. It's really not technical difficulties. It's technical encroachment by satanic force, but we bind that up right now in the name of Jesus. This call will, this show will go forth because the man of God, the prophet of God, has a word in his mouth. Chad, are you there?
I am here.
Yes, yes. So, Chad, if you could just pray over the airwaves and then you go right back into what you were talking about earlier.
Absolutely. Father, right now we decree and declare that the enemy's assignment against what you have given us to do is immediately canceled, and that his weapons have been dismantled, and no weapon formed against us shall prosper in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, that as your people position themselves to hear the word, Father, and to apply that which they have heard, we pray, God, that you will allow us to experience victory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Amen. So you were giving a word to the unmarried ladies about, we were talking about spotting, you know, the person from afar off and things of that nature, but you were also getting into some second part of that. So do you remember when you left off?
Yeah, absolutely. We're talking about red flags, and, you know, one of the things that I want to mention, again, I believe that I mentioned this also when I was first on your show, and that is that, you know, one of the things we need to pray for is for discernment. We need to pray for the gift of discernment. We can't be so caught up in how a thing looks and how a thing sounds that we don't tap into the gift that God has given us to be able to discern what's really happening, what's really going on. I preach a message about the spider, and one of the things that's interesting about the spider is that though it has eight eyes all over its body, eyes around the circumference of its entire body, it actually has poor vision. One of the things that makes the spider an adamant hunter is not the fact that its eyes or its vision is sharp like the eagle's, but one of the things that makes the spider such an avid hunter is that it has on its legs hairy follicles that are full of sensitivity. And so when the prey gets stuck in the spider's web, it's not that the spider sees it, it's that the spider senses something is coming. And God says that he wants us to really tap into our extra sensory perception that he gave us in the Holy Ghost and really tap into that area of discernment because, watch this, and you can tweet this, because you can discern more with your spirit than you can see with your eyes.
That's good.
And God will take you into a place where you cannot trust your own eyes to tell you what to do. And many of us, what's been happening is we've been making decisions just based off of what our eyes see instead of what our spirit senses.
That's good.
And so with that, you know, comes a series of bad choices in men, bad choices in women, because we will not, you know, some people just want to be with somebody, you know, so bad that if it looks good and if it sounds good and if it smells good, then it must be good. But then after you take all the wrapping paper, you know, from around it and you really get down to the matters of the heart, you'll discover layers and layers and layers of issues. And so those are a few things, but I know that the people are anxious to really get into this whole cheating versus affair, as we have put it. And I believe that Adrienne said it best when she mentioned to us that they are both wrong. I want to make sure that this is clear. They are both wrong. Neither are good. Neither is healthy. They are both wrong. But I do believe, you know, that there's a difference in application and execution as well.
Mm-hmm.
as she stated, and I totally agree that, you know, I can go to Vegas, and that's what, as the old saying goes, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. I can go to Vegas, have a good time, hang out with Adrian's husband. I'm throwing him under the bus, man. Adrian's husband can hang out. You
don't
know,
get Donald Peele now.
And hang out and go to the strip club and have a good old time and find something and, you know, play catch kids, get a little bit, don't exchange numbers, go home, and never think about it again until, you know, maybe it comes up when I'm just talking to the boys, and that's it. There is no emotional connection. There is no constant communication. It's a one night, as we call it, a one night stand. And that doesn't make it any better. And it does not mean, ladies, that, oh, well, I guess just because my husband, he just slept with a stripper that one time, I shouldn't be mad at him. No, you should be mad at him. Yes, he should be, you know, you all should have a conversation about it. You should beat him up, you know, inside his head for being, you know, such an idiot. But there is a difference, in my opinion. Now, understand that this is just my opinion, right? But my opinion matters, people. No, it's my opinion that an affair, when I think of an affair, because I've been in that situation before, an affair really is something that that requires me to put my heart into, if you will. An affair is something that requires my, you know, my attention on a, you know, on a consistent or an agreed upon, you know, basis. An affair is something that before you know it, you end up having feelings not only for your spouse but for this other individual as well. And
right.
And in my opinion, although both is wrong, one is more difficult to break free from than the other.
Right.
One is more difficult to break free from than the other because now you have developed feelings for this person. Now you are confused as to what you want to do with your life as it relates to relationship. Now you are in the position of trying to decide if you're going to choose your wife or choose your girlfriend on the side. And that's a major difference than just going to the strip club, you know, sleeping with somebody and, you know, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. It's not only harder for the one who's been cheated on to recover from, but it's also hard for the person who is in the affair. It's harder to break that cycle because you have developed a habit. You've developed a habit of talking to this person. You've developed a habit of communicating and cracking jokes. You've allowed this person into your inner space, and now they have some level of sentimental value because they bring some emotional, they bring something to the table emotionally or physically that you need, or even both that you need. A lot of times affairs are the result, a lot of times, not all the time, but many times an affair can be the result of what's lacking in a person's marriage, and rather than them trying to fix or address what's lacking in their marriage, they just allow somebody else to fulfill, to fill the void in their life.
Right.
Right? They just allow the other person to fill the void. And then there are times where, watch this, there are times where the conversation is had, but your spouse just don't seem to get it.
Ooh, wow.
There are times when it seems that your spouse does not see. I know couples who have gone to counseling. They went through all the stages. They went through all the steps. And because of a spirit of stubbornness and selfishness, the spouse refuses to give the man or the woman what they have verbally declared that they need.
My Lord.
And so oftentimes we find other people who can fill the voids. You know, I think we call it having your cake and eating it too. I never understood that phrase, to be honest with you, because if I got some cake, I'm going to eat it. So I know I don't understand the pun or whatever in that whole thing. Maybe somebody can explain that to me later in the email. I don't get the whole have your cake and eat it too, because if I got some cake, I'm going to eat it. It's my cake, right? But that's on a whole other subject. but we call it, you know, having your cake and eating it too. But, you know, it's often easy for the one who's been cheated on to just, you know, call the other person a dog and talk about how worthless they are and they're just a nasty such and such. But it's important for us to stop and really try to figure out, why is this happening? Mm-hmm. Why is this happening? Why, you know, people don't want to have the conversation. That bothers me. People don't want to have the conversation as to, you know, as to why it happened. People don't want to have the conversation as to why it happened. And what I feel is, I feel that it's important to really have these conversations before it happens. You know why? Because you need to know what's on your spouse's mind. Where are you mentally? The Bible talks about how once a man has lusted after a woman in his heart, you know, he has committed adultery.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Once he has looked upon this woman, once he has allowed these thoughts to really just consume his mind. And so I think sometimes couples need to stop and ask, what's on your mind? I think you need to stop and ask your spouse, you know, babe, not just are you happy, you know, am I pleasing you? Is that something that maybe, you know, you want to do and maybe you tried to communicate it to me and I'm not doing? Am I pleasing you sexually? Are you satisfied? Am I giving mm-hmm. you enough? Do you need some more?
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We don't ask those questions. We just go about our day and we assume, okay, I gave this old John Turkey some on Monday, so he's just going to have to wait till Saturday.
But wait a minute, Chad. Let me stop you, though, because I have wives that say, I ask him over and over again, what can I do to please him? What can I do? And they'd be like, you all right, boo. I mean, you straight. I mean, you know, you good. Like, they don't go, a lot of men don't go into detail if there is an issue. They just request it or they wait until an argument and be like, well, you know, you only did that on Tuesday and not on Wednesday. I mean, they tell you once it's out of control, but what do you do for the wife who asks her husband those questions? We send emails, text messages, phone calls, cards, whatever, asking everything that you ask us to ask, but we don't get a response or one that's adequate or maybe even truthful. What do those wives do?
Am I allowed to say I don't know?
Well, that's real. But I think it goes back to earlier about discernment. You know, some things we just got to catch. You know, some things you can't be taught. You have to catch it. It has to be a revelation to you. And a lot of times our husbands don't know what to tell you. And that was really hard for me to grasp as a woman and as a wife. And even interacting with my son, who's 11, I have to be very careful how I approach him as a young man, because a lot of times he just really does not have the words to articulate what he's feeling. And I used to get frustrated and irritated. It's like, duh, what's the problem? Just say what it is. But a lot of the time, or even with Donald, he may want to tell me something, but he doesn't want me to be upset or be angry or have my feelings hurt or whatever the case may be.
And
so,
that's really what it boils down to. That's really what it boils down to. It boils down to a lot of times, especially, you know, because at the end of the day, a man knows his wife, a wife knows her husband, at least emotionally they do. And a lot of times what happens is a man doesn't want to tell his wife the complete truth, because what I find out in my own personal experiences is sometimes instead of the woman saying, okay, babe, well, you know, we'll try that, they go through this season of feeling some kind of way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing is, here's the gospel truth. Sometimes people ask you, are you good, are you straight, are you happy, with the hope that you would just say yes, not with the hopes or expectancy of actually having the conversation, right?
That's right.
And so, you know, you got to be careful that when you're asking these questions, that you really want to know the answer. I'm not just asking you this just out of routine because I just want you to say yes and I can at least show you that I, you know, act like I care, but I really need you to care. You know your husband. The reality is, you know if you're giving him enough or not. You know what his sexual aggression is. You know what your wife's, what her sexual tendencies are. You know, in the grand scheme of things, you know if you're doing it enough. You know how I know that you know if you're doing it enough or not? Because if you have to ask yourself, am I doing it enough, then you're probably not.
That's good. But, hold on, let me just say the other side of that, because some women feel like once a month is enough. In her mind, she really feels like being sexual with her husband once a month is enough. So it's like, how dare you go out?
And if he's being sexual with somebody else, then it's clear that once a month is not enough. You need to, what you need to do is put him to sleep so he can stay his tail at home.
No.
You know, of course we know that each person is different, that even men, all men are not, all men, I mean, I've had women to complain to me about their husbands turning them down. When I was married, I've never turned nothing down. Hey, what is that? I don't know what that is. What do you mean, turn it down? I've never done that, but there are women who encounter that. So it's not just the women who fake headaches and act like, you know, and act uninterested. There's some men who do that too. I get it. Hormones are different. We're all wired differently. But at the end of the day, you need to make it your responsibility to find out if you are, you know, pleasing your husband enough. I mean, when is the last time, you know, I know the nature of this call, so I can say this. When is the last time you tried something different other than, you know, can I be honest? I had a person that I was talking to about their relationship with their spouse. And, you know, the young lady said to me, because she had dealt with some infidelity issues, and she said to me, you know, because I asked her straight up, I said, well, you know, what is your intimacy life like? And she said, I mean, as far as I know, it's good. First, it was wrong answer. What do you mean, as far as you know, it's good? Clearly, if you have caught your husband in some sort of act, right, that's an indication that it's not as good as you think. And then she revealed to herself, revealed to me, without even trying, why he had maybe begun to look elsewhere, because she said to me, you know, she said, good, you know, I don't need all that stuff, you know, I don't need no oral, I don't like giving him oral, all I need to do is just lay on my back and get mine, you ain't have to be flipping me over and all that kind of other stuff. And I said, okay, well, no wonder, it's boring to him.
Oh. Wow.
I said, it's boring to him. It's boring to him. You're just going to lay on your back every time, just the same old routine. And, you know, if you don't change it up, you got to change it up, people. You got to change it up. You got to change it up. You have to be spontaneous, and you have to understand what the Bible says, that you are not, you no longer own your body in a sense, but your body belongs to your husband, and the husband's body belongs to you. When you get married, you give your husband authority over your body.
That's really
good. And so you have so many people who have not given up that authority over their own body. You got a lot of married people still trying to, you know, sort of have some type of single life. Newsflash, you are not single at all.
Ooh, that's good.
At all. I tell people sex and marriage is not optional. Go back and read your Bible. It ain't optional. It's mandatory.
Right.
It's so mandatory, in fact, that that the scripture says, I believe it's Paul who writes that, listen, you know, if you're going to take some time to pray, you better do it and do it quick.
Okay.
If you want to fast, get your spouse's permission. And he says, but after a short period of time, come back together and have sex, lest the enemy starts to tempt you. This is the same person who says that those who are married, Paul says, here's why Paul would rather people be single. Paul said, I wish that you were single, because he who is single cares for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. He who is married cares for the things of the world, how he may please his spouse, he or she may please their spouse. That shows you how high up the food chain marriage and intimacy in marriage is to God.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have a lot of people, not even, you know, it's amazing to me, folk, you know, they in such haste to please God in every area of their life, but you're not pleasing God in your marriage.
My God.
I don't know how I got on that, but I just felt that it shifted in my spirit. You're not pleasing God in your marriage. You at every church service, you at everything, you're teaching, you're in the choir, you're on the praise team, you're doing all these extracurricular activities, you're spending time with the kids, you're doing homework, you're cooking, you're cleaning, and then when it comes time for the most important thing in your life, which is your spouse, you know, he gets or she gets the short end of the stick.
My Lord.
Something is wrong with that picture.
That's right.
Because even biblically, again, I know how attached women are to their children, but your spouse is more important than your kids, because guess what? After 18 years, your kids going on about their business.
I know that's right, honey, 17 and a half. I know that's right.
Exactly. They don't get married. Matter of fact, when they go to middle school now and high school, they ready to not see you for a couple of days.
Right.
You know, but oftentimes husbands and wives get the tired version. They get the just lay there version of sex. They don't get the lace anymore. They don't get, you know what? Isn't it amazing that when we were sinning, when we were fornicating, because all y'all didn't wait till you got married to have sex with your spouse. Some of us had sex with our spouse prior to marriage. And it's amazing to me how incredible and adventurous the sex was before we got married.
That's good.
It's amazing to me the attention to detail. You know, it's just like husbands. It's amazing to me before we get married, we whining and dining you and spending money and taking you to all kinds of fine places and get married and then fix your peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Oh.
Right? You go from
right.
You go from filet mignon to just a hamburger patty steak.
Right.
This is not steak.
Hamburger with no bun.
Right. This is not steak. This is a hamburger patty cooked well done with A1 sauce. This is not steak.
Wow.
You know, but it's amazing to me how twisted our view is on marriage. It's amazing to me how twisted our view is on marriage. I know of a friend of mine whose spouse, his wife, actually told him, "I did what I needed to do to get you." You should have figured out, you know, why are things the same? It's amazing to me people have that mindset that now that you have the freedom to do it, you don't want to. When you weren't free to do it, you did it all the time.
My God.
How the devil trips us up and just really confuses us.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
You know? So I mean, I submit to those who are listening in on today, to use that discernment, you know, to find out, you know, what it is that maybe I can do, you know, to spice things up. You know, go back to yesterday. Remember when we used to. Think about some of the most incredible times you've had. Remember, do something spontaneous.
Mm-hmm.
Do something spontaneous. And newsflash, just so the ladies, just so y'all know, men, we don't really require a lot. If you can't afford to buy nothing at Victoria's Secret, guess what? A pair of high heels and nothing else will do the trick just fine.
Well, Shondo, yeah.
It sounds funny. Go get
that
apron out your kitchen, put some high heels on, cook some egg and rice, and watch that egg and rice get cold. Watch it sit right there on that table and get cold.
Okay, listen, Chad, before you have to go very soon, and thank you so much for coming back with us. Listen, one of the ladies asked, is bringing another person in the bedroom considered cheating? So threesome, whatever you want to call it, that's the question.
Is it considered cheating? More than cheating, it's considered perversion.
Yes.
You know, and it's considered sin because, I mean, then, you are both, you know, fornicating or committing adultery because you're having sex with somebody other than your spouse. So it's wrong, period. It's sin. You shouldn't do it. You don't need the third party. Tell them thank you so much for coming. You got to go home. You got to get out of here. You don't want to release that kind of spirit into your home.
That's right.
It's hard to come back from that kind of stuff.
Yes,
it's hard to come back from that kind of stuff. It's hard to get free from that kind of stuff. You don't need no, if that's how your mate wants to be pleased, if that's what they want for their birthday, they need Jesus. They need to be delivered. You need to take them to church for their birthday and let them get delivered. Right? Spouses should not go to your obligation to your spouse. Has to have biblical boundaries, if you will. In other words, if what your spouse is trying to get you to do takes you outside of the will of God, then don't do it. Period. The end.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And if they try to, don't let them try to manipulate you. Talking about the bed is undefiled. Yeah, it's undefiled between me and you.
Oh, say that again, Reverend. It's undefiled between me and you. That's right. Because people will say things like, well, what I do in my bedroom with my husband is my business. It is. But notice you said your husband. Why would you bring your girlfriend in the room talking about, you know, well, this is my girl and this is what he wanted for his birthday? Are you serious? Are you kidding me?
Well, and the other thing is, newsflash again, God is in that bedroom as well.
That's the only thing
that
we authorize.
We authorize. God is in that bedroom as well. God has sanctioned the sex between you and your mate. He has ordained that sexual act. Anything else is outside the will of God. You know, and if your husband has a problem with it, then you just tell him, okay, well, then we'll bring a girl in this week, and next week we'll bring a goat in and let the goat lick on you.
But that's real, though. That's real.
You know, bestiality is not in the will of God. You don't need that kind of stuff. Now, you know, I don't want to get too off into this, but I'm sure somebody maybe has thought about it. Now, when it comes to toys and different things like that, my preferences or my opinion about it is that it depends on the kind of toy it is and the nature of it.
Okay.
Vibrators that serve as a stimulant, that just stimulate certain things, you know, I'm totally on board with that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But again, my personal preference is, you know, when I go out of town, you don't need no dildo sticking nothing all the way up inside of you or whatever, you know, that's a preference, okay? I stay away from all of that kind of stuff. You don't need no beads and sticking no beads up in your butt and all that. That's just, you know, because some people, again, when they're exposed to it, if you're not strong enough and mature enough, you'll go all out. You'll be in a toy shop,
right.
You know, buying dildos that's 14 inches. What you need 14 of what you need? What? Why do you need that? Your husband ain't even 14 inches. What you need 14 inches for?
Well, let me stop you because some of the ladies have, I have a lot of wives that ask me about that, and here's the Wifeability official endorsement or statement on sex toys, okay?
Okay, okay.
I do not tell people what they should do in their marriage bed, okay?
Right.
However, in my book, Becoming an Intentional Wife, this is a plus. Becoming an Intentional Wife, you can get it on Amazon.com. Amen. Now,
Amen.
What I say is if you're going to use sex toys, you have to be careful because when you open Pandora's box, just like if you bring another person in the bedroom, it's hard to close that door.
Yep.
So I've had wives who engaged with sex toys with their husbands, and the husband, she walked in on the husband with the dildo in his behind.
he had the dildo in his mouth. And she's like, wait. First of all, you're supposed to be at work, number one, and why are you playing with my toys? So what I'm saying right. is that's the kind of, quote-unquote, perversion that people don't like to talk about. Okay?
Right.
So you think, oh, it's just spicing it up and, you know, this is just fun. And it might be fun for a minute. Belle and I, when we were young, when we first got married, we had them too. But wait a minute, we was like, we were getting ready to move, and some of the saints was going to come over and help us. And I was like, oh, wait, we forgot about this drawer over here. Right? So when you gotta start hiding stuff, then you probably want to make some changes. So from that day forward, we said, okay, wait a minute, if I got to start hiding stuff, then maybe we don't need this. And from that day
right.
forward, we never engaged. Now, but again, that's all I say to women about sex toys, because some people that's super spiritual be like, oh, in the Bible. Yeah, people know what the Bible says. But sometimes, I need a personal conviction, something that I can visually see in my mind. I would have a problem. And Donald would have a problem if he walked in the room on me and I'm one with the dildo. He'll be like, really? That's what we're doing now? You see what I'm
right.
saying? So just because you may not be cheating with a person, if you're cheating with an object or your dog or your cat, you're still not with your spouse. So that is the official statement regarding sex toys for wife's ability. So I don't tell women they're going to hell or husbands they're going to hell. I just say be careful, because when you open that door, it may be hard to close. And you have officially invited a spirit of perversion. And if you cannot handle that, that is not something that you should engage in. So go ahead and complete what you were stating.
Absolutely. I totally agree. And my name was Chad Brown, and I'm endorse that message or approve that message. I mean, that's the best way to look at it. Just, you know, be careful, use wisdom, and again, use discernment, you know, even when it comes to those things. But whatever you do, you have to spice it up. My problem and issue with church is, you know, we don't focus enough on marriage. You got all these marriage ministries at the church, and they talk about everything but sex.
I mean,
you know, it's
right.
like sex is the forbidden subject. If this is the marriage ministry, we need to talk about sex, because the church is full of sexless people, folk
That's
who are
good.
Married and they're not having sex. Listen to me, married people. I can't wait to be married again pretty soon. Praise the Lord Almighty. You need to have sex. I'm going to say it till I turn blue, and you can come back and listen to this message later on. You need to go find yourself somewhere and have sex with your husband, your wife, be spontaneous, make it good, make it memorable, make it, as the song say, make it last forever, and do it often.
Amen.
And
Amen.
Do it often. We don't hear that. It's just, if I said that in church on a Sunday morning, they would look at me like I'm crazy.
Basically.
You need to have sex.
Basically.
You know,
so why won't the church
I mean,
deal with the issue?
I don't know why the church, why, you know, the traditional church won't deal with the issue. I don't know why. Maybe because many
of
them are having sex.
You have so many
of them who are having sex with everybody but their wives. You have that
My
category
God.
Of people. You have the category
mm-hmm.
of people who, you know, who are not having sex at all. They just are married, but they're eunuchs or something like that. I don't know what that's about. And then you have people who, because they are in that particular situation of, you know, cheating, infidelity, they don't address it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't
mm-hmm.
address their issues in church. I think that's a lot of what happens. You know, a lot
mm-hmm.
of pastors won't address certain things because it's what they are experiencing at home.
Mm-hmm.
They
mm-hmm.
don't address
that's
they don't
true.
Address their issues. But thanks be unto God for forums and opportunities and outlets such as Wifeability and this radio show where people can really hear from those of us who are leaders in ministry, who are spiritual, who are spiritual and who knows how to properly address, you know, these types of issues that really affect our, you know, our families. I mean, these things affect entire families. These things entire families. At the end of the day, Chad Brown is a divorcee because of infidelity.
My God.
Period, the end. I can say all I want about all the other areas that I wasn't pleased in and all the other stuff that might have added to it or taken away from it or done this, but at the end of the day, Chad Brown is a divorcee because of infidelity.
My Lord.
Because of infidelity.
Wow.
Right.
Wow.
Because I had not dealt with issues in my life. And here's my catch. Here's my testimony. My ex-wife gave it to me all the time, whenever I wanted it. Never said no, which lets me know that I had deeper issues. I had deeper issues that I had to deal with. So, you know, you just got to kind of, and it's not a war that's going to be won in one day, but if you really want your marriage to work, then, you know, you need to just put forth every effort that you can in order to make it work. The one thing you don't want to have said is that you didn't do all that you could do.
Right.
If you have to end up walking away from your marriage, at least be able to walk away saying, I did all that was required of me. I did all that was asked of me. I did everything but bring that goat into the bedroom.
No, that's right.
And so if that's what you're mad about, then you just got to be mad.
I know that's right, Doc. I have a question for you, Chad. Question is, how do you handle or talk to friends who are ministers of the gospel when it comes to their cheating / affairs with other church members? For example, Holy Convocation / AIM, or I guess this is a Church of God in Christ thing, AIM, bed hopping, and I'm sorry for those who don't know what we're talking about as far as the organization, but
if you don't know, don't worry
people.
About it.
Right. So what do you do with that? How do you handle that?
Oh, God. I'm sorry.
Oh, you won't do that. You will not do that.
I love the church. Huh? Okay.
Stop it.
How do you deal with those who go to conventions for their fling? Basically.
No, what I'm saying is those who are preachers and ministers of the gospel, how do you, if that's your friend and you know that they're sleeping with other people, how do you approach them? What do you say to them? How do you handle that?
Personally, I don't say nothing to them. I don't say anything to them. You know, we're talking about leaders. We're talking about people who, though they have these, you know, major flaws, they are still very learned. They're still educated. They still understand what holiness is. They still, I mean, you know, we preach it all the time. I mean, what do you tell a person who already knows? What do you say to that individual?
Right.
Unless I'm led to by the Holy Spirit, I don't say nothing.
Okay.
Unless I'm led to by the Holy Spirit, I don't say nothing. You know, it takes the right kind of, now, to those who are my friends, those who I call friends, those who are in my inner circle, I would say something to them. But people who I'm more acquainted with, and, you know, we're cool, but I don't really have that kind of relationship with them, I don't say nothing to them. That's not my responsibility. It's not my job unless the Lord gives me something to say. But I guarantee you they definitely have somebody in their life who would speak in such a way. You have to be a certain kind of person to address leaders.
That's right.
You have to be a certain kind of person to address leaders. And although, you know, God uses me in the prophetic ministry and I've been privileged to walk in that office, that still doesn't mean that I can just walk up to anybody and just tell them, you know, what I want to tell them. It took a special person to address David and his issue.
That's right.
God sent Nathan to David. Anybody else would have been put to death.
That's right.
Because at the end of the day, though Nathan was the prophet, David was the king. David could have literally had him killed right there on the spot.
That's right.
And so, you know, you have to be careful how you address those issues. I can't just go, although I'm a prophet, I'm subject to a pastor. I can't go to my pastor rebuking him.
Oh, come on, say that again.
Yeah, I can't go to my pastor rebuking him. I don't care if I was on the Word Network.
Plug.
But it's true, though.
I don't care if
I'm doing Miracle Mondays every Monday night at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern. I don't care if I'm, you know.
Yes.
I am subject, you know, to a leader. And so how do you deal with that? You know, what I would say is this. I think people have forgotten. Prayer still works.
Yes, it does.
Prayer still works. Some things are not for us to deal with. Some things are for us to just pray about. Some people are not for us to expose. Now, watch what I said. Some people are not for us to expose. Others are for us to expose. The Bible says, mark them who cause divisions among you. So, you know, if what people are doing is getting to a point where it is causing contention and division or whatever, then, yeah, those type of situations you need to expose. Well, that's not, you know, it's not my responsibility to just start trying to pull back, you know, trying to rebuke everybody and you know, let all these. I mean, I know we got bishops in every organization who are, you know, out there bad, who are doing, you know, God knows what with God knows who. But they're subject to God.
That's right.
And trust me, while they may not be exposed, I guarantee you, they're receiving the repercussions of it.
That's
you got
right.
Some of them they're doing that kind of stuff, and guess what? And their churches are not growing. People are leaving their churches.
That's right.
You know, their families are messed up. Their children are just as crazy can be. So, you know, unfortunately, that's the end result. But you have people who are, you know, God does the chastening, people. God does the chastening. God is the one who issues the spankings. And so what we do for those type of people to answer that that letter is, you know, we pray. And we don't pray that God will expose them to the world, because you know what am I trying to say? That's a bad look on the church as a whole. It is not just making that person look bad. You understand what I'm saying? God forbid. Imagine and this, I'm just saying, this is hypothetical, people. I don't, this is not me sharing anything, but imagine somebody of Bishop T.D. Jakes or Joel Osteen's caliber, you know, imagine one of those guys having, like, a serious fall. It's not just them that's falling.
Wow.
It's not just them that's falling. It makes the church as a whole just look bad. So, you know, everybody, because I hear preachers like people, you know, God's going to expose you, God's going to, you know, God doesn't just expose people like that.
That's right, he doesn't.
Because God understands what's at stake here.
That's right. That's so good.
So we don't pray that God will expose them. We pray that God will help them and bring them to a place of repentance and deliverance.
That's right. That's right. That's good. That's good. Well, Chad, listen, I know that we had some issues earlier, but I thank God that you were able to come back on and share. Thank you for answering the question we were talking about earlier. In segment number one, Denise J. had given a prophetic word about those that were planning to cheat this weekend and to cut it off now, so we didn't forget about
that. Was
if, you're just tuning in, the prophetic word went forth this morning that some were planning to cheat this weekend, and the Holy Spirit brought a word to the woman of God and said, if you were planning to do that, cut it off, because God will allow something to happen that you can't get out of. So, listen, y'all, like Chad just said, amen, and prayer still works. Prayer still works. Use discernment. Stop being suspicious of your mate. There's a difference in being concerned or wondering if something's happening or having intuition about something. But there's a difference between suspicion and really trying to figure out what's going on. Suspicion is when you're going through the phone and the pockets and the text messages and smelling his private parts, ladies. Cut it out. Because you can't police no man. You cannot police the man, because the more you police him, the more that spirit of rebellion will begin and continue to run rampant in your home. If you would spend more time seeking the face of God and not seeking your husband's phone or seeking where he's been, checking the hood of the car, looking on his Facebook, Instagram, see what naked pictures he's liking, if you spend more time in the Word of God and being the woman of God that you're supposed to be, stop avoiding sex, stop trying to avoid talking about sex, stop making excuses about sex, then God can do a tremendous work in your life personally and then in your marriage as a whole. So, Chad, as we wrap up, can you just pray for us? One more question. I'm sorry. Somebody had a question for you, Chad, and I know you talked about this in your last visit. Last question was, how do you feel personally about emotional cheating?
I personally just think that it is difficult to, it's something that's very, very difficult to break and to come out of. I'm talking from experience. It's not good because see, when it comes to emotional cheating for me, because I'm such a lover of people. And you finally get to that point where it's like, you know, you have to make a decision, and then you know that somebody is going to be hurt. And now you're in this position, you know, where you care about, you know, both of these people or however many are involved, and somebody's going to get hurt, you know. You're feeling like you're losing a friend, although one of the friendships, you know, weren't meant to be anyway. But you know, emotional cheating is definitely bad. It's definitely dangerous. You should not spend time at work thinking about another man or another woman other than the one who you chose. And remember this, people of God. Remember this, please. The person that you got to lay next to every night and wake up next to every morning, you chose that person. You chose them. That was your pick. We don't live in Africa. Many of us on the phone, our marriages were not arranged. You said yes when you got the proposal. You planned the wedding. You walked down the aisle. You said, I do. That was your choice. Not just because you've grown and matured and he hasn't, but just because you've developed in certain areas and she hasn't, that's still your mate.
Mm-hmm.
You chose them.
That's right.
That was your pick, right? If he's ugly now, he was ugly when you told him.
No, that's right.
I mean, you know, he's your, that's, you know, that's your pick. You chose them. And so, you know, I think we have to just get to a point where we really become content with the choices that we've made, you know? It's like parenting. You know, I have six kids now. Obviously, I chose to have six kids because there is a way that all six could have been avoided. Right? So now that they're here, I don't have the option of just deciding, oh, man, I don't want to do this no more, and walking away out of my kids' lives and going to look for new kids because, you know, these kids, you know, they didn't turn out quite the way that I thought that they would, so let me go find some new ones and adopt.
Crazy. I hear you.
You know, but it's, you know, but it's real because, I mean, that's how people are in marriage. It's like, okay, well, out with the old, in with the new. And, you know, the Bible says God hates divorce, and I thought about that today of why God hates divorce, and it dawned on me, Adrian, I think I know now why God hates divorce. Because marriage is the first institution that he created. And nobody wants to see what they created be destroyed.
That's good.
Nobody wants to see what they created be destroyed, be neglected. You know?
Right.
God created marriage. God said, I don't want to see the thing that I created, that I ordained, to just be destroyed and so messed up and so dysfunctional.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, find a way to be satisfied with the choice that you made, because you made it.
That's good.
You made it. Pray and ask God, God help me to see the good in this person again. God help me to, you know, be attracted to this person again. You know. Yeah, Lord, you know, start kissing them again. Kiss. Big deal.
That's true, because some couples don't even kiss anymore. They don't kiss, they don't shake hands. The wife just get in the bed and bend over, and the husband already, he ain't got to kiss nobody, he ain't got this done. I'm like, wait a minute, y'all do nothing? Y'all don't even have a conversation? So wait a minute, Jessica,
exactly.
What about that wife who wants to please her husband? You know, a lot of the church, quote unquote, has issues with the whole oral sex thing or whatever. And again, we've already established that wife ability endorses oral sex. So if you don't like it, you can please be seated. But we endorse oral sex, and our husbands are very appreciative. Amen. So my question is, Chad, what do you do? And you kind of touched on this last time, but some husbands do not like oral sex, or maybe they liked it when they were younger, but now they're a little bit older, and they're just not really interested, not even really in sex. So how do you, especially if you're married to a younger, an older man, and not that he can't get it up, because we talked about that extensively last time, right? But not that he can't, but he's just not interested. So should that, what does that wife do who wants to please her husband orally and he does not receive it the way that she wants to give it?
I didn't know that those kind of guys actually existed.
Yes, there are.
They are out there.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes, they are. When he laughs like that, beware, I need y'all to start praying, because I don't know what's going to come out of his mouth right now. So go ahead, Chad.
Listen, can I be honest? I don't know what's getting ready to come out of my mouth right now. And so I need y'all to pray.
Well, I need you to pray.
You know, I mean, I really don't know what you do with an individual who loses that sexual desire. One of the things that you might want to consider, right, is there are stuff that you can take that's very, very safe. I know that because, you know, I have in the past, but I did mine just for extracurricular activities, not because I needed it. but, you know, things that you can supplements or whatever that you can take that would hopefully sometimes it's just a libido issue for certain people, you know. Sometimes it's just something internally that's not being activated, if you will. And so sometimes you just need an enhancement that will, you know, that will activate those areas. And that could make a difference. It could make a difference. If it doesn't, pray. I mean, because I really don't, you know, truthfully, I don't even understand the concept of one not wanting to receive. So, all I can say is, you know, search out some, you know, enhancement things that will help to just restore certain functions in the body or certain triggers, you know, and, and have the conversation, you know, ask them, do you not like it anymore? Like, is that what it is? And, I mean, and if a person doesn't like something, they just don't like it. period.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
You know, we definitely in marriage, you have to respect your spouse's likes and dislikes.
That's right.
And if it's something that they just don't like, then you should just probably not do it. But you
let
them know. Although you don't like it, doesn't mean that I don't. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, you may not want a certain thing, but I do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know that's right.
And you come to certain agreements. You might not like a certain thing, but I do. So, you know, so give me double. I want what you're going to give me, and I want what I'm going to give you, too.
I'm going to take some of your advice.
Instead of 30 minutes, make it an hour.
I know that's right, Reverend.
Yeah, so, I mean, we have to respect each other's likes and dislikes, you know, even in relationships and marriages. And so if it's just something that a person does not like,
mm-hmm.
then,
mm-hmm.
you know, I would just say respect that.
Yeah.
You can't make a person like certain things.
That's right. And don't take it personal.
Don't take it personal.
A lot of times it's not about you or what you're doing wrong, but a lot of times, ladies, we talk ourselves right out of our husbands wanting to be with us. We could have said something so emasculating at one point, or even earlier in the day, something emasculating, something humiliating, and so he's like, you know what, especially when they get older to a certain age, they do become, some men do get to the point where that sex with their wives does become emotional to a point where when their feelings get hurt, they don't want to be intimate. And I kind of was like, when did that happen? But it's true. Donald has to tell me, look, I'm not just walking around with just, you know, ready to just do it all the time. Like, I do have feelings. Because I used to think if I said, okay, I said whatever I wanted to say out of my mouth, that he would still be ready. He'd be like, no, we need to talk about this. I'd be like, wait a minute, we need to talk. So it's like, I think sometimes women, we don't understand the damage we do with our mouths even before sex, or even right after sex is not the time to be telling your husband how you feel about what he did, crazy, your feeling right after. Like, let the man, wipe himself off first before you start telling him what he did wrong, or you didn't put the clothes up, or you didn't do this. That's not the time. So
get a good night's sleep. Wake up the next day and fight that battle.
And if you did if he did his thing and you did your thing, both of y'all should be asleep.
You should not be arguing about nothing. You shouldn't have the energy or the strength.
Thank you. So as we wrap up, well, I appreciate you being so honest and so transparent, because many men, especially men of God, will not admit that their marriage ended due to infidelity. And I appreciate your transparency, and that's one of the reasons why I'm very careful about who I bring around me, because I believe in transparency, because to me that's where healing comes in. That's where people can truly be delivered, because if they know that you're dealing with the same thing that they're dealing with or have dealt with, they tend to listen to you. But when you come off high and mighty and better than another person, nobody wants to hear anything you have to say. And I think that's what the church does. That's what the church does, that they come off high and mighty and better than. And so people say, okay, well, let me go to the club with people I can relate to. Or even some of those church kids or people that are on the fence trying to figure out what they want to do, you know, every Sunday, that same girl going to the altar to get saved every week, because once she leaves the altar, somebody says something stupid to her. And so she goes to the club next Saturday, then gets convicted, and then comes to church on Sunday, and then the cycle just continues. But like Chad said earlier, y'all, some things, it's not about you rebuking that person. You know, if I got any old mothers on the phone, on the call listening, please stop trying to check everybody. If the Lord did not tell you to tell somebody about their quote-unquote wrongdoing or their outfit or whatever, do not say anything to that person. You pray and you keep it moving.
right? So, yes. Chad, as we close, if you could just go ahead and pray for us. Thank you again so much for being transparent. You know we got to have you back again in the future, in the near future. Any of the ladies, I'm sure they are going to be like, hey, can you bring Chad back to talk about this? So, and I try to do what I can as a leader to bring the information that's needed. So as we close, if you could just pray for us, and then we're going to move forward. And I love you and thank you, and I'm proud of everything that God is doing in your life. Y'all check out his website, chadbrownministries.org, chadbrownministries.org. You can see him on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and he always has a word from the Lord, and he's a little silly too, but we thank God for that as well.
Amen. This is true. I am quite silly. In the spirit of silliness, when you check out chadbrownministries.org, there is a donate button. Praise God.
Amen.
For those of you who would like to hear me to continue to talk about sex. And thank you again, Adrian Bell, for inviting me on for a second time. You know, I've already told you whenever you want me to share, I am more than willing to do so because I love you. I love what your ministry stands for, and I love the impact that you are making in the Christian arena. And to all of you who support my friend, thank you so much for helping her vision and her dream to become a reality. And let's do whatever we can to push her to the next level because she is definitely an awesome gift to the body of Christ. And somebody has to be Oprah's replacement. Amen. Amen. Father, Father, thank you so much for this time to be able to share with your people, God, on those issues that are real and that are relevant. I pray, Father, that you would help us to receive the wisdom that we need. Even as you ministered to me last night, God, to minister to your people concerning wisdom, help us, Father, to have the wisdom. Your word declares in James, the first chapter, that if any of us lack wisdom, let us ask you who gives generously. And so, Father, I pray that you would give your people the wisdom that they need in order for their marriage to grow, in order for them to overcome the roadblocks that have been in their way, in order for them to avoid certain pitfalls, in order for them to experience the bliss that you desire for us to have in our marriages. I pray, God, that you would, God, just restore every broken place. I pray, God, that you will, God, just cause just great communion between the couples to take place in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, that the spirit of frustration is being destroyed even now, God, and the spirit of paranoia, God, for those people who are paranoid, God, and who are operating in fear, you have not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. And I pray, God, that you would bind the spirit of fear in the name of Jesus and anxiety and stress and worry, those things, God, that also hinder us from walking in faith as we should. God, we understand that marriage even is a faith walk. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know who holds tomorrow. And so I pray, God, that you would bless us as we transition from this show, God, to whatever it is that we have to do today. And I pray, God, that you would give us a sign, God, those people who need a sign. You gave Gideon a sign. Give your people a sign, God. Give them a sign, a signal, a symbol, something, God, to just notify them that you are right there by their side and that you have it all in control. I give you praise on behalf of your people. I thank you, God, for the blessings that shall overtake them. I thank you, God, for the favor that their husbands shall receive as we line ourselves up with the word of God and value the wife that you gave us. Your word says that who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor with the Lord. So for every husband on the call that makes a decision, God, to value and to appreciate and to respect that which you have given them, I pray that you would unleash your favor in their lives like never before, thereby taking their family to the next level. In Jesus' name, thank God and amen.
Amen and praise God. Until next week, everybody, have a wonderful and prosperous week, and it is going to be a great and prosperous week. Amen.
Thank you. Bless you all.